have any problems when you begin to talk to some others. You know, I've always taught that if money can fix it, it ain't broke. You know, if money can fix whatever your problem is, it's fine. You got health issues? Boy, talk to somebody that's got problems. But Paul here says to the church at Galatia, which it was a number of churches, he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time that we could come and be in your house. Father, thank you for, Lord, all that you've done for us and the things that, Lord, you continue to do. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, just having the problems of growth and Lord, that we have to move around and accommodate things to get the building, Lord, to where it would accommodate more, and Lord, that we could continue to grow, and Lord, that we'd be a vibrant church and a light in the community. Father, help us to go through this, and Lord, we don't even want to use the word suffer, but just for us to go through this, and Lord, help us with our attendance, Lord, with the summer, and Father, again, help us to be more cognizant of others' problems, Lord, than our own. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus says, bear ye, or Paul says, bear ye one another's burdens. Look in Matthew chapter 23. This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, talking here. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, and even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. He says a lot of things here about people doing things and then wanting the recognition for it. He says, don't be doing that way. I know Dr. Henderson didn't ever want to be singled out or his name called or anything about nothing. I mean, he, in his way, would get offensive about it. You know, don't make no to-do about me. He said, I want my blessings in heaven. And I agree with that. Just a side note here, he says in verse 9, and call no man your father upon the earth. Now that's not talking about our earthly biological father, but that's calling someone father in representation of God our Father. Someone who has more intellect or more biblical knowledge than us that we would refer to as our Father. We have denominations who call them Father. Our Lord and Savior said, you don't call anybody Father here. That's just one of the things. But he says in verse 11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. You know, we've always heard growing up and stuff that, you know, if somebody picks on somebody, the bigger man is the one that walks away or doesn't. And that's true. Now we don't look at it that way. We go, oh, you know, that's no man. You know, he's no kind of man. You know, he let that guy pick. No, he's the bigger guy. to not do anything or not lift a hand against someone. But Jesus says here, don't be like the rabbis. Don't do stuff and then want recognition. That's where he's upset. And if you continue on through what he's talking about, he's real upset. He begins to call them hypocrites and names them and just how vile they are. And we all have to be careful in different positions. I want you to know that I really enjoy teaching. I study and I want it to come out. But I don't want the recognition of that. All I do is point. I just say, turn over here and look at this. I didn't write it. I didn't put it together. I don't want the recognition or the glory of Christ. I don't want that. We do pretty elaborate VBS stuff around here. We kind of do that stuff. We had the idea last year to build a tank. And we started working on it a couple of weeks ago. And it was slow going. Brother Donnie Mosley, Brandon Cook, and me and my son. And it was slow going, but we worked on it every night until we ran out of light. I took my generator to the back of the property and we just used it for screwdrivers and stuff and or drills. But we worked on it and it was very slow going. Friday night, it wasn't even close. It's not going to make it kind of close. So I told Brandon, I said, look, we got to get more bodies down here. We got to get help. So we started calling around. He called guys. I called guys. And yesterday morning, an army of guys, no pun intended, an army of guys showed up and we worked on it. But before we started, I had a word of prayer. And I said, God, we can't get this done in time. You can just stand there and look at it. It ain't going to happen. But you can. And much to Brother Hopper's chagrin, we came backwards through the parade because we were trying to let the paint dry. I'm telling you, it was that close. But we had to get it done. There was a lot of effort put through. I even hate to use the term, there was a lot of sacrifice. Brother Mosley's not here this morning because he's sick. I watched him yesterday morning where he just wasn't going to make it. Brother Mark was here helping us and at one point went into a spasm deal and I said, are you okay? And he said, no, I'm not. Well, I didn't know what to do. You know, cut the end of a cord off and stick him with it. I don't know. I mean, but there were physical sacrifices. Now, again, I hate to use those terms. There were physical sacrifices for some of the men to get that deal done. Not the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior gave for us. Not even concerned. That's why I hate to use the term sacrifice. But there were men that gave of their time, their families, their energy, their money for the good of it. Now again, the main thought is that we do an elaborate VBS so that the kids first will have a remembrance of it and it will be striking enough to them to draw their attention in. Because we want to see kids get saved first and foremost. That's why we go and do the things that we do and put out the time and the effort and the energy and the money and everything else is to see the kids get saved. But then there's an upside to that too, that sometimes adults will see what we go through. And adults will say, hey, I want to get in part of that stuff. What is it that y'all do that makes you want to do that? And so that's kind of an upside to that, but there were people being servants is what I'm getting at. They were giving of their time, you know, when other things could be going on, you know, I'm not even going to get into my days, but they were a little crammed together because I don't tell anybody no. Yes, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. You know, and then it just makes everybody mad. But now, but there were people that were servants, And I so appreciate them. We got the tank done. We drove down. We actually was just trying to get up onto the concrete with it. And then me and Brother Wiggins said, I said, man, let's go to the parade. We're in a tank. There can't nobody stop us. They don't know this is a zero turn mower around here. We're in a tank. So I said, go up to the road. We got there. You know how you do. Well, go down that way a little bit. Well, by then we had it in road gear and we was just going on, you know. So anyway, they were servants. Look in Acts chapter 15. We see where there's a conflict within the early church. And it says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, there was some what was called Judaizers that said, if you were going to be saved, they was okay with a new deal happening. Not Judaism, but the church going on. But you had to keep up with all the traditions of the Jews. The Jews circumcised. And they said, if you were 40 years old, and the Holy Spirit tugged at your heart, and you said, I want to be saved and join the church, you had to get circumcised. That's what they said, that you had to keep up with the law or you couldn't be saved. Verse 2 says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversions of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. So the church says here, we'll send you, go to Jerusalem, talk to James and Peter and them, and find out the straight and skinny on it. So they take off down through there. Well, they stop at towns, and people are getting saved. Now, there's no greater joy in heaven than when someone comes to know Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. It should be great joy here on earth. And for the brethren, it is. That's why, you know, here in a little bit, when Brother Crawford has an invitation, we all are joyous when someone comes down. It's not an embarrassing time. It's a joyful time. Here, Paul and Barnabas go on their way, and it says that they converted some Gentiles to salvation. And look what happens. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to be circumcised them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So here's these Judaizers in the church at Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas show up and they say, man, we stopped at Samaria and people got saved. And let me tell you about this family that ends up getting saved. And they show up and say, yeah, well, but they got to be circumcised or it's all for naught. Man, what a damper, huh? I mean, here they come in and they say, man, y'all want to share in our joy? Look what happened. And all they could say is, no, you gotta stick with this. So it says in verse 6, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts and bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? He says, we didn't like all those laws and rules and things. We have a new start. We have a new chance. Why do we want to burden ourselves with that again? Or those other? It's senseless. You know, Judaism is done. There's no Judaism in the future. The Jews still have a job. There's going to be 144,000 of them preach the gospel. They still have a job, but Judaism as a religion is done. It failed. It didn't do what it was supposed to do, and now it's our job, the church. Go back to Galatians chapter 6. He says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What was Jesus' law? He said, I can sum them all up into this. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Now, we should be looking for opportunities to bear one another's burdens. Here's a real easy one. Financial burdens. You know, the early church wasn't communism, it was communityism. They sold their property to help others, or sold things that they had to help others. They didn't sell everything and put it all in a pile and everybody get an equal share. That wasn't what it was about. And by the way, you never fight over money. Everybody understand that? You don't ever fight over money. You always fight over the lack of money. I mean, that's a good topic of battle. But it's never fighting over. Honey, we've got too much money now, and I'm mad about it. Sorry. I'll lay up a little more. You know, no, it's always, hey, we don't have enough money. Now what? But financial burdens, I mean, oftentimes someone in the church has something befall them that maybe wasn't even their doings. It just happened. You know, here we are, we're in this situation, and we don't know what we're going to do. Man, it should be us that looks for opportunities to bear one another's burdens. How about physical burdens? And there's plenty of that. Plenty of that. I don't know if I shared this with y'all, but several months ago, I don't Facebook, by the way. Sorry. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank all the brothers that are too scared to say it. I don't Facebook, but my wife Facebooks. So every now and then she says, come in here and look at this. So I go look. They had a wheelchair deal that is a stand-up wheelchair thing. Remarkable deal, made in Austria, I believe. And I watched the video and I was just in awe of it. It was incredible. So I got up the next morning and I just went in there and sat down at the computer and I watched it again because I thought about it all night. And I thought, man, we've got a very dear member of this church that could so use that. It's not on the moon. It's in the Eastern Hemisphere. If it was in the Western Hemisphere, I'd drive there and get it. I don't care if it's in Brazil. But I can't get my truck across the big pond, so. But it's on earth. We should be relentless to get this for Randy. I shared it with him and Anne-Marie. And I said, Randy, we got to just stay after it, stay after it. Well, when they put it on Facebook, it went viral. Hi, Anne-Marie. Stick your head back in here. Huh? Okay. Well, she's not supposed to be listening anyway. You're not in this class. But we need to be relentless and stay to it, stay to it, stay to it. Share one another's physical burdens. And we've been that. But when it went on the internet, it went viral and they've just got inundated with it. And so I talk to Randy every week. Man, I send him another form. I send him, you know, he called him, talked to him, said a real nice lady, but said it could be a couple of months. But we need to get that for him. Period. Period. Oh, they're probably expensive. I don't care what the cost is. Life-changing. By the way, I don't know I'm on, but Randy is a candidate to wake up in the morning and be able to walk. His spinal cord's not severed, it's bruised. And watching this video, people in a wheelchair are supposed to stand up for 1 hour a day. Helps their health, their circulation, everything. I don't know how they do it. I mean, I don't know. But this wheelchair is a stand-up wheelchair. Man, could it not, maybe, through the grace of God, would it do my heart well to watch Randy stand up here and sing a song? My chains have gone. I've been set free. Hallelujah. I told Anne-Marie, I said, man, I just want to stand and look him eye to eye and shake his hand. She said, you can't. He's about 6'3". Amen? Our physical burdens. You know, it just tears me up when I hear y'all during prayer requests, hey, pray for so-and-so in my family. They're lost. Man, pray for my sons. That just tears me up. Tears me up. Pray for someone who's lost. Man, forget about financial, physical. We're talking about eternity here. You know, someone we brought into this world, someone that close to us, faces and names that are lost. We should be so in prayer about that. Saw some friends of ours last week of went to church here. He took a church somewhere else, and I remember him coming to us and saying, man, my mother's lost. My mother. Dads can be lost. Moms can't be lost. Right? How do we get grandmas that bring us to church? He said, my mom's lost. And I remember us crying and praying to God to convict his mother's heart. We should be looking for opportunities to bear one another's burdens. Is that not a burden? Oh man, I'm upside down at the bank. Well, guess what? My son's lost. Whoops, I misspoke. You know? I mean, we should be looking for opportunities. You know, you come in here and you begin to talk to people and you go, man, let me tell you about my week I had. And they said, okay, well, sit down, I'll tell you about mine. Whoops. Maybe I should keep my mouth shut, right? You know, I've learned my lesson. I don't come in and tell anybody what kind of bad week I've had. Man, I never do win first. You know? Think about Simon the Cyrenian, who carried Christ's cross. Our Lord and Savior had been beaten and just pummeled and then was put a big heavy cross on and told to carry his cross, and he just gave in to the physical inability of it. And a man steps up and takes his cross and puts it on his back. Now, if you weren't standing there when Jesus physically went down and Simon picked up his cross and started down the street, you didn't know that he was carrying somebody else's cross. Think about the humiliation there. Oh no, this isn't mine. I'm carrying it for the guy back there. Yeah, right. Yeah? Think of the humiliation and the shame that he went through for someone else. By the way, he picked the right one to carry it for. Amen? But the people down the road didn't know it wasn't his. They didn't have a clue. He eventually became an elder in the church. But he also had kids that Paul became friends with. And imagine what the kids went through. We used to be a member of another church. My family did. And as some of y'all were in the same church. And actually, the preacher here was actually a member of that church. Now that I put it all together, And he was wronged. You know how I know he was wronged? Because the old preacher taught me that. And I stood up and said, "Sir, this is wrong, and you taught us that." And we had to leave. Now, we homeschooled our kids, so our kids didn't have friends at school. They had friends at church. My son and my daughter's best friends were at church. So I had to explain to my kids that you're not going to see your friends anymore. We're going to go make new friends. It was tough. Because if you didn't see someone pick up that cross, there's shame and humiliation there. Right? Sometimes we don't see the whole story. My daughter came to me later and she said, "Dad, what we went through was tough. I didn't understand it then, but I understand it now and I'm proud of you." You know, it was tough. It was real tough. Thank you, amen section over here. It was tough. But if people didn't see us exchange and pick up that cross, then sometimes they didn't know. "Oh, you're church hopping again, huh? I've been a member of two churches my life." You know, I grew up in one and had to leave, and until y'all run me out of this one, I'm here, you know. But we should be looking for opportunities, not just coming in and saying, "Yeah, I'll pray for you." We should be looking for those opportunities. Who needs help? I'll help. Jesus said, those become the servants. Those ones that want to be up there end up being the servants. Paul goes on to say in chapter 6, he says in verse 3, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, but God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall to the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." I give this example because it's kind of a really neat object lesson. Right now we've had plenty of rain, thank God. All the way in June, I mean, we're doing very well. I guess it's July today, isn't it? Okay. Through June we had rain. It's been great. But we live in Texas, and there's not going to be any rain for a while. And the grass begins to grow short, and we raise cattle. And so coming around to winter, you need hay, or you plant a winter crop. Now what we do is we plant a winter mix. We plant winter rye, oats, just for kind of bulk, and then we plant a wheat. Wheat stays dormant in the ground 3 months. So we plant around September, and the oats and the rye come right up, just green as a gourd. I mean, just green. Can't hardly keep the cattle out of it. And that lasts for a couple of months. Because we let them in and then take them out and let it grow a little bit and then let them back in. But then when you think everything's done, in December, here comes the wheat. Because it lay dormant. We planted it, but you have to be patient. You just wait on it. There's absolutely no way you can keep that wheat from coming up out of the ground because you planted it. Paul says here, "God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." We plant that wheat in the ground, and you go, "Well, the rye came up, and the oats came up, no wheat." No, you got to be patient. God does stuff on His time, not our time. What happens to us is we want to put God on our clock, and then God messes everything up. Right? That's where our problem lies, is not waiting on God. It requires patience, but whatever you plant, it's going to come up. We should be able to bear one another's burdens, and not just bear them with them, but look for them. Look for those opportunities. You know, my brother Kurt was hurt in a foreign land. It was foreign. His wife was none too happy. Not that he got hurt, but half of her was somewhere else incapacitated. That's rough. I searched my little old pea-picking brain. What can I do to help the Summers? I'd go get him. It wouldn't bother me. Last time I went to Canada, I had my voter registration and my driver's license. They said, don't do this again. So I'm sorry, I didn't have my passport. But I wanted to figure out what can I do to help them. I called her and said, whatever I can do. I don't know what it is, but I offer it. Because I knew where she was at. But we need to look for those opportunities to share each other's burdens. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time that we could spend in your house. Lord, we thank you for, again, Lord, just the growth that we're experiencing. Father, that we could accommodate, Lord, our community and, Lord, just all of our surroundings. Lord, that the world outside sees what's going on here and, Lord, that they'd want to be a part. Lord, that you would get the glory. Lord, and again, thank you for Kurt being back and for Shirley, Lord, and her progress. And Lord, be with all the prayer requests that are out there today. Lord, be with our service in Christ's name.